For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours? That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. Today's podcast is brought to you by The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan. Now, obviously, I have my own podcast, but I am a consumer of content. I love great business shows that help me take my business to the next level. So if you are ready to accelerate your entrepreneurial journey, you have to dive into The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan. It is presented by Carbon 6. This is the driving force behind today's top e-commerce solutions and growth tools. Join Tim every week as he explores the cutting edge of business growth, from transformative digital marketing strategies to the emergence of new brands. The Growth Gear provides insights directly from the forefront of the industry. Whether you're a startup founder or a seasoned executive, this podcast offers the tools and insights necessary to propel your business to the next level. Subscribe to The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan on your preferred podcast platform and start turning insights into actions. Get ready to shift into high gear, The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan. It's your guide to accelerated success in a hyper fast-paced business world. Welcome to the 10-Minute MBA. I'm your host, Scott D. Clary. On the 10-Minute MBA, I give you tools, tactics, strategies, and insights that you can use to start, scale, grow, and 10x your business. Let's get into it. I'm sure you know the business isn't for the faint of heart. It is a high-stakes game where the winners aren't just lucky, they're very strategic. They understand the forces that shape their industry, the undercurrents that can either propel them forward or completely drag them down. See, business is like a game of chess. Every move has consequences. You wouldn't step onto the board without a plan. Same goes for business. There is a framework that I really love, and I'm going to caveat this because I don't always love frameworks. I find that sometimes people get too lost in theory and they don't focus on action items and actually doing the thing that's going to move the needle in the business. However, there are some theories that are good because they help you conceptualize all the different things that you have to think of when you're starting a business, when you're building a business, when you're an entrepreneur. One of my personal favorites is Porter's Five Forces. It's a framework for understanding your competitive landscape and then allowing you to make more informed decisions that ultimately lead to growth and success for your business. And I know when you hear business frameworks, it sounds like something out of an MBA textbook, and that's a whole other can of worms that I'm not getting into today. But Porter's Five Forces is anything but theoretical. It is a battle-tested tool used by some of the most successful companies in the world to analyze their industries, identify threats and opportunities, and outmaneuver their rivals. There are other tools like Porter's Five Forces, like a SWOT analysis. However, I like different tools for different reasons. And Porter's Five Forces brings in more components, as you're going to see in a second, than just focusing on opportunities and competition. So I truly believe, whether or not you're a seasoned entrepreneur or you're just starting out, understanding these five forces is truly crucial for building a sustainable, profitable business. It's like having a cheat code for the game of business. It gives you an edge over your competitions who are playing blind. So I'm going to unpack each of these forces with some real world examples, but let's just sort of review them at a high level so you understand what we're talking about here. So the five forces. First force is rivalry amongst existing competitors. So an example of this, streaming wars, where Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, they're all locked in this fierce battle for subscribers. This intense rivalry drives innovation, price wars, constant jockeying for position in the market. So you have to understand your competitors. Second force is threat of new entrants. So look at the rise of fintech companies like Robinhood and Square, disrupting the traditional banking industry. The threat of new entrants keeps established players on their toes. It forces them to adapt or risk ultimately becoming obsolete, like what happened with Blockbuster when Netflix came around. So what is a threat of new entrants into your market if you build in this space? The bargaining power of suppliers is the third force. So an example would be pharmaceutical industry, where a few powerful companies control the supply of life-saving drugs. This gives them immense bargaining power, allowing them to charge high prices and dictate terms to healthcare providers and patients. Fourth force is bargaining power of buyers. Think about the retail industry, where consumers have tons of choices. They can easily switch between brands. This buyer power leads to intense price competition and a constant need for retailers to differentiate themselves. Fifth force is the threat of substitute products or services. Remember Kodak? They once dominated photography, but they failed to adapt to a rise of digital cameras, smartphones. The threat of substitutes can completely reshape an industry, leaving these once dominant players in the dust. So now that you understand at a high level the five forces, I'm going to go into each force and how to think about it, how to understand how it impacts your business, how to measure it, and ultimately what to do with it. So the first force, right? Rivalry. Let's dive into this heart of the competitive arena in business. Rivalry amongst existing competitors. This is where real battles are fought. This is where most people are, they're very aware that there are rivals for their business in their market, where companies are just trying to claw a little bit of market share from their other competitors. They're trying to win over customer loyalty. They're trying to build a brand that stands out. You have to understand the intensity of this rivalry. It is crucial for building out a winning strategy because it is more than just counting competitors and other people in the market. If you are building a company, you have to understand the nature of the competition because rivalry is not just about a number. It's about the stakes involved and the weapons that each player on the field wields. Think of the ride-sharing wars, for example, between Uber and Lyft. They're not just competing on price. They're battling over drivers, innovation, brand perception. This intense rivalry has completely reshaped the transportation industry. It forces traditional taxi companies to basically adapt or perish. So the intensity of the rivalry depends on several factors that you just want to think about if you are building or scaling a business. You want to understand industry growth rate. So in a rapidly evolving, growing market, like for example, plant-based meals, very hot right now, or AI, there is room for multiple players to thrive. But in a stagnant market, like maybe traditional soda or manufacturing, it could be that competition is very cutthroat and companies are all fighting for a piece of a shrinking pie. Second factor you want to think about is product differentiation. So Apple's fierce, loyal customer base was built on the back of its innovative products and its ecosystem. It gives an edge over the rivals in a smartphone market. But in commodities like oil and gas, differentiation is minimal. It leads to these fierce price wars. So how different is your product than the potential competitors? And exit barriers. Not all people build companies to keep the companies operational. Some companies are built to sell. Some companies are built so that a private equity firm is going to buy them up someday. But some are not. So if you're in the airline industry, tons of high fixed costs, airplanes, maintenance, airport slots, it makes it super difficult for airlines to exit, even if they're facing losses, right? They're kind of just not going to, they're not going to pivot industries. And they're also not going to be able to sell to many buyers just because of the size of the company that they are. So if you're in an industry like that, where everyone is kind of just like locked in and building their company and they're not going anywhere, this could create intense rivalry, really significant industry changing, company changing price wars. See, understanding the intensity of the rivalry in your industry is like knowing the terrain of a battlefield. So you know there's competitors, but are you actually going to be competing with them, and for how long? And in which ways? It allows you to anticipate your competitors' moves. It allows you to identify their vulnerabilities, develop a strategy to outmaneuver them, or even allows you to understand if you have to worry about your competitors. You want to start asking yourself when you're building a business, who are my main rivals? Are they established players? Are they nimble startups? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? This is where you could do a SWOT analysis and it could fit into this framework. How do they compete? Is it on price? Is it on quality? Is it on innovation? Is it on brand? What are the stakes? Is it winner-take-all market? Or is there room for multiple players? And how can I differentiate myself? What unique value can I offer that my competition can't? See, when you answer these questions, you're able to develop a strategy that leverages your strengths, mitigates your weaknesses, and positions you for success in this hyper-competitive arena. Remember, rivalry isn't a bad thing all the time. It can push you to innovate. It can improve your offerings. It can show you that there's a market out there for your product or service. It can ultimately help you become a better business. So embrace the challenge, and you want to learn from your competitors, and you want to use that knowledge to build your own path to victory. Now, the second force you have to pay attention to is new entrants into the market. So even for the most established industries, there is a real threat of new entrants. You may have heard the term, is there a moat around the business? This is something that investors care a lot about when they're investing in early stage companies, because if the business does not have a moat, that means that someone else can just build a copycat business or offer a copycat product or service with very little energy and effort. And when new players come into a market, they're always armed with fresh ideas. They have all these new concepts, new strategies. They are unburdened by all these legacy constraints that a large mammoth of a business has to consider in their strategy or their next move. New entrants can massively disrupt the status quo and completely rewrite the rules of the game. And if there are low barriers to entry in your industry, that could be concerning as a business owner, as a founder, as an entrepreneur, as a CEO, as an investor. So a good example of this is food trucks or e-commerce. Startup costs are relatively low. Digital landscape offers a level playing field. This accessibility can be a double-edged sword. So it can foster innovation and competition. It can also lead to market saturation and razor thin profit margins. Consider the rise of the direct to consumer brands like Warby Parker, Casper. They bypass traditional retail channels. They offer stylish eyewear and mattresses at a fraction of the price. This influx of new entrants completely shook up the industry. It forced established players to completely rethink their pricing, their marketing, and their distribution strategies. So then you're gonna ask, well, Scott, how do I fortify my business against these new challengers? How do I build a fortress with a moat? So it's all about building barriers to entry, creating a fortress that's difficult for newcomers to penetrate. Here's a couple strategies to consider if you feel like you want to build a business that has a low barrier to entry. Think about economies of scale. So achieving significant size and efficiency can make it difficult for smaller entrants to compete on price. Think of Walmart's massive distribution network, which allows it to offer lower prices than most competitors. So that could be an advantage for you. It's hard for you to achieve that right out of the gate, but you could have that particular strategy in place. Think about brand loyalty. So this is another defense, right? You want to build a strong brand. You want to create a loyal following. That creates a moat that new entrants are really going to struggle to cross. So Apple's brand, synonymous with innovation and quality, is a prime example. If you are a big business and you've not focused on your brand and you can be outsourced, I'll give you an example. I know a wheelchair ramp company. They create ramps that you put outside whatever your store, your office, or your restaurant, so you're ADA compliant. And they are struggling because everything they make is made in the US. However, you can make the same ramps in China for 1/10 of the price. And currently, they're focusing on a brand play, a made in America play.
If you are building a business, you need to care about efficiency. You need to understand what your business is doing on a day-to-day. When it starts out, it's a little bit easier to do this. When it starts to grow, things start to get chaotic. NetSuite is a host of applications that help you understand the performance of your business, drives major efficiency gains and cost savings. I've been working with NetSuite for a few months now. They are one of my favorite softwares that I truly believe any business that earns a few million dollars in revenue up to tens and hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue has to consider. If you're working in an organization of that size, things are going to get hectic at some point. NetSuite by Oracle is going to help you out, and they have rolled out the best offer that I've ever seen them roll out. So NetSuite really does give you visibility and control that you need to make decisions faster. Think about it as a COO that gets real-time insights and data into what's happening in your business and what's not going so right so that you can fix it ASAP. It's costing you millions of dollars not to fix these issues that you may not even be aware exist. Now, for the first time in over 22 years, NetSuite is deferring all payments on a full NetSuite implementation for 6 months. 33,000 companies have already upgraded to NetSuite. So take advantage of this special financing offer at netsuite.com/ScottDClary. That is netsuite.com/ScottDClary to get the visibility and the control you need to weather any storm. Thank you so much, Indeed, for sponsoring Success Story. For all business leaders out there, Indeed is a lifesaver. See, we're always driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. You're going to ditch the busy work and you're going to use Indeed for scheduling, screening, messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Clary. Just go to Indeed.com/Clary right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Clary. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
Build stronger brand loyalty so that people want to spend money and pay a premium price for a product because it's made in America, as opposed to just paying, you know, pennies on the dollar for something similar that's outsourced to China. You also want to think of intellectual property. So patents, trademarks, copyrights, they can protect your unique products, your technologies, your processes. It makes it harder for others to replicate your success. You can think of exclusive agreements. So partnerships with suppliers, distributors, or retailers. That can really limit options available to new entrants in the market. And then high switching costs. So you want to make it costly or inconvenient for customers to switch to a competitor. Think of software companies like Adobe. So their Creative Cloud subscription model makes it difficult for customers to easily switch to alternative providers. Or think of any telco company that you've ever done business with, AT&T, Verizon. Why do they get you on these bundles, right? Cell phone, TV, internet. It's because it becomes a stickier product and it's harder for customers to switch somewhere else. And lastly, just a commentary on these new entrants and these sort of new threats that could come into your market. New threats, new entrants can be intimidating. It can also be a catalyst for innovation or growth. So new players, they can bring fresh perspectives. They can bring disruptive technologies. They can bring a hunger to win. Study them. Learn from their successes. Learn from their failures. Keep a finger on the pulse of your market, your industry, your category. You can stay ahead of the curve and maintain
your competitive edge. But you have to remember, the business landscape is constantly evolving. New entrants will always be lurking. They're always going to be waiting for their opportunity to strike. So you have to understand this threat and proactively build up your defenses. You can create a business that's not only resilient, but also adaptable to an ever-changing market. That is how you win over the long term. Now, the third force and the fourth force focus on the power dynamic between you and your suppliers and you and your customers. And it's a dance that can really impact your bottom line. So let's talk about suppliers and customers. So suppliers. So if you imagine that your business is a finely tuned machine, the gears are your processes, the fuel is your ambition, but the raw materials that make the machine work, those are your suppliers. That is your product. Their power can be a blessing or a curse. So suppliers, manufacturers, some industries, these people have more of a hold on your business. Think when you're reselling a product versus if you've developed your own software in-house. Yes, you have to rely on maybe some AWS servers, etc., but it's not going to impact your business to the same degree as one supplier that builds one product that you sell that can only be sourced in one part of the world. You get the picture. So when suppliers hold the upper hand, if suppliers are involved in your business, they can dictate prices. So think of the semiconductor industry, where a global chip shortage has given chip makers unprecedented pricing power. This affects everything from car manufacturers to gaming consoles. Think about quality control. So in the food industry, suppliers of high quality organic ingredients can command premium prices, and they can exert significant influence over the final product. And they can also influence innovation. So in the fashion industry, trend-setting fabric suppliers can shape the designs and styles that ultimately hit the runway. Suppliers usually have more power when they're few in number. So De Beers, which once controlled the vast majority of the world's diamond supply, wielded immense power over the diamond market. They'll have more power if their products are unique or differentiated. So the Swiss watch industry, known for its craftsmanship and luxury, commands a premium due to the scarcity and the prestige of their products. And also, they'll hold a lot of power if switching costs are too high. So in the aerospace industry, switching suppliers for complex components can be super costly and time consuming. This gives suppliers leverage in negotiation. Now, I'm not saying that you can do a lot to influence what a supplier can impose on you, but you do have to understand what type of market you're getting into so you can understand where you have the ability to negotiate with potential suppliers. Now, on the other side of your business, you have buyers. They also have power over you. And you see how it's a dance, because suppliers have power over you, buyers have power over you, and you're trying to build this business in the middle. So buyers, they are your customers. Their influence can also impact your business. It can shape your pricing. It can shape your product development. It can shape your marketing strategy. Because when the buyer holds the upper hand, they can demand lower prices. So think of bulk retailers like Walmart, whose massive purchasing power allows them to negotiate tons of discounts from suppliers, passing those savings on to customers. When buyers hold the upper hand, they can influence product features. So in the tech world, early adopters and tech-savvy consumers often shape the product development through feedback, through reviews. And when buyers hold the upper hand, they can also set industry standards. So in the food industry, the consumer demand for organic and sustainable products has forced companies to adopt more ethical and eco-conscious practices. Buyers usually will have more power when they're few in number. So, for example, defense industry, governments are the primary buyers. Not many of those. They purchase in large volume. So back to that Walmart example, large corporations, as opposed to an individual consumer that has significant purchasing power, can negotiate favorable terms with suppliers. And then your products are undifferentiated. So if you have a commodity like oil and gas or coffee, buyers can easily switch between suppliers. This drives down prices. So there is a dance. And understanding the power dynamics between the suppliers and how they impact you and buyers and how they impact you is essential for navigating this complex business building process. It's about finding the sweet spot where both parties feel like they're getting a fair deal. And this requires skill, strategy, and a deep understanding of your own strengths and weaknesses, as well as those of your partners. And suppliers and buyers are partners in the dance of business. And to bring this home to the fifth force of Porter's five forces that impact your business, it is the threat of substitute products or services. This isn't just about competing with similar products. It's about recognizing this lurking danger that can impact your business that comes from an entirely different industry, seemingly out of nowhere. And this is probably one of the most devastating things that can impact your business because you aren't actively looking for it until now. So I want you to think of this force and substitute products or services as these shapeshifters. They might not look like direct competitors at first glance, but they satisfy the same customers' needs or desires. And when a substitute emerges that's cheaper, more convenient, or offers a superior experience, it can quickly erode your market share and it sends profits plummeting. So consider the rise of digital photography. It wasn't just film companies like Kodak that suffered. It was an entire ecosystem of businesses from film processing labs to camera stores. The digital revolution didn't just change the game, it created an entirely new one. Or look at the rise of plant-based meats. I've mentioned this a few times. They're not just competing with traditional meat products. So they're appealing to a growing segment of health-conscious and environmentally conscious consumers who are looking for alternatives. This shift in consumer preference has the potential to reshape the entire food industry. See, the threat of substitutes is often underestimated because it can come from the unexpected source or the unexpected competitor. It's not always a direct competitor who steals your customers. It can be a completely different product or service that renders you obsolete, which is super scary. I want to give you a couple examples so you understand what to look out for. One thing that happened over COVID was video conferencing versus business travel. So the rise of Zoom and other video conferencing platforms has reduced the need for expensive and time-consuming business travel. Think about all the industries that impacts, from actual travel, train, plane, car rentals, event halls, hotels. Like, it's wild. Online learning versus traditional education. So platforms like Coursera and Udemy and even YouTube and podcasts to a degree, they offer affordable and flexible learning options that challenge the traditional model of higher education. And then ebooks and audiobooks versus print books. So the convenience and affordability of digital books and audiobooks completely disrupted the traditional publishing industry. So how do you navigate this ever-present threat of substitution? Here are a few strategies. So you have to stay ahead of the curve. So constantly monitor emerging trends, technologies, consumer preferences. Remember, it is finger on the pulse of your industry, and you, as a business leader, have to be willing to experiment and innovate to stay relevant. You have to focus on customer experience. So differentiate yourself by offering exceptional customer experience, personalized experiences, or unique features that substitutes can't match, as well as just speak to your customers. It's always a good idea. You want to build a strong brand. A powerful brand can create emotional connection with customers, which will make them less likely to switch to substitutes. Or this sort of dovetails into the last piece, which is you can expand your offerings, which is all about diversifying your products or service portfolio to reduce your reliance on any single offering. This can help you weather the storm if one of your products or services becomes obsolete. But to tie the last two ideas together, the strong brand and the expansion of your offerings, if you have a strong brand and you start expanding your offerings and you see a substitute product come into play, what you can do is you can expand your offerings, and one of those offerings could be that substitute product. And because you have a strong, trusted brand in the market, people would rather take that substitute product from your brand than from a competitor. Remember, the threat of substitutes is a constant reality. It is going to happen to you in the business world. You have to stay vigilant, you have to stay adaptable, you have to stay customer focused, and you can mitigate a lot of this risk or even turn it into an opportunity for growth and innovation. So just to wrap up, Porter's Five Forces, very powerful tool for understanding the complex, the ever-changing landscape of business competition. Remember these five forces, analyze them, study them. So rivalry amongst competitors, threat of new entrants, bargaining power of suppliers, bargaining power of buyers, and threat of substitute products or services. When you focus on these, you start to get a very deep understanding of your industry. You start making better informed decisions, and you can build a business that thrives in the face of competition, in the face of chaos, in the face of disruption, whatever it is. So go armed with this knowledge and the insights and the understanding that yes, business is a battlefield, but with the right strategy, you can always emerge victorious. That's it for today. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you got some value out of that. Make sure you come back tomorrow for another business lesson on the 10-Minute MBA.
Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours. That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. Today's podcast is brought to you by The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan. Now, obviously, I have my own podcast, but I am a consumer of content. I love great business shows that help me take my business to the next level. So if you are ready to accelerate your entrepreneurial journey, you have to dive into The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan. It is presented by Carbon 6. This is the driving force behind today's top e-commerce solutions and growth tools. Join Tim every week as he explores the cutting edge of business growth, from transformative digital marketing strategies to the emergence of new brands. The Growth Gear provides insights directly from the forefront of the industry. Whether you're a startup founder or a seasoned executive, this podcast offers the tools and insights necessary to propel your business to the next level. Subscribe to The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan on your preferred podcast platform and start turning insights into actions. Get ready to shift into high gear, The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan. It's your guide to accelerated success in a hyper fast-paced business world.